So while the worship team's walking down the steps, I just want to say, let's think of them, people who look after our children today. We've got Rachel over here and Bryce back there helping us with the video feed. And so let's just express our appreciation to them, please. We have a wonderful group of people. If I started listening to people, I would be here for a long time. Nick, it's nice to have your daughter playing the drums. How sweet. Family, thank you for your ministry, ladies. Mark, for your good word. See if I've got this thing working. Maybe. I am technologically impoverished. Do you want to point it this way? Advance the slide one notch. Here we go. We're going to get this figured out. So I am so glad to be in here with you all. The parking lot was fun. I appreciate all the different things we could do in the parking lot, but it's nice to be in here, and so thankful for that. You all, are we ready? You all are, I believe with all my heart, and there's some other churches involved, the future of Western independence. And I say that, I believe it with all my heart. God can use you and wants to use you to make a difference. I was sitting in a little bit of the class with Wayne and Bryce. I listened to Henry Blackaby talk. And Henry Blackaby is going to say, if you haven't heard it yet, find out where God is at work and come join him. God is at work here through you. Join him in that work, okay? Let's do that. So let me see if I can get this thing to work. There you go. You ready? So look at this. Be careful how you live. Don't live like ignorant people. Let's just stop there for a second. Brian and I are probably the only two people in the building who've ever lived like ignorant people. There's nobody else here who's ever had a time of living like that. And I thought maybe Brian would enlighten us. Brian, tell us what it was like to live like an ignorant person for a minute.
Well, honestly, Mom.
Do what?
If you were to talk to my wife, I could probably fall in this category today. Occasionally. But definitely before I say, ignorance is the lack of knowledge, the lack of understanding. And I lived my life in a way where it was totally about me. And what was confusing about, though, is I didn't like me at all. So I basically lived my life in the pursuit of a change in my reality, through a chemical means. And that was all that I cared about. And I would do to you whatever I had to do, or anybody else, to make sure that I was able to get the chemical, which most more often I was methamphetamine in my system. And through that, I developed many criminalistic tendencies, and I basically wasn't a very nice guy.
That's a short version. I asked him the short version. So it says, don't live like ignorant people. Living out of your own best thinking, trying to make things work for yourself, trying to get your way, and you end up on the wrong end of that deal. But then you can live like a wise person. Somewhere between ignorant and wise, you met Jesus. How did it happen?
Well, he was talking about living in ignorance. So, ignorance is definitely a lack of truth. And I had people, throughout my addiction and my early life, speak the truth to me, like my mom and my grandma. So I would hear these things about Jesus, right? But I paid him no mind. In fact, I went the other direction, because Jesus and meth don't mix, in case you guys don't know that, right? It doesn't work. But, there came a time when I was in prison for the fourth time that one day, some very meaningful changes had happened in my life, kind of, like God had gave me some signs. But I was walking, I was at St. Joe Diagnostic, and I was walking back from Chow, and I'm sure a lot of you have been there. But when you go down to E-Wing, you walk in, it's a pretty big wing, right? And I was walking in with a group of guys, and I walk in that door, right? You don't often see that. So this guy's standing there, right when I walk through the door, I feel him looking right at me. But I mean, I'm like, you know, I'm at least 50, 60 feet from this guy, and I'm with a group of people, you know, so in my mind, immediately, I'm like, well, he's not really looking at me. But I continued to have this feeling, and it wasn't like he was looking at me, it was like he was looking through me. And while this, I was having this feeling, he's looking at me, and he starts walking down the stairs, and the whole time he's walking down the stairs, I felt him looking right at me. And in my mind, I'm like, this dude is not freaking looking at me. I don't even know who this guy is. But as I'm thinking that, he continues to get closer and closer. And finally, he walks up to the group of us and stares right at me, and he says, God's got a plan for your life. And I'm like, in my brain, I'm like, no, he don't, right? I'm in prison again with more charges, all kinds of things, right? And right on cue, he goes, yes, he does. And if you would ask him for a sign, he'll show you one. And so I was like, whatever, in my head. I didn't say nothing to him. I just went up to my cell because in St. Joe, you're locked down all day. So I'm in there, and I just happened to be by myself at the time. My cell was on out count, right? And, which means he was gone. I was there by myself. And in a diagnostic, for those of you that haven't been, you don't have anything, right? You don't have nothing. You got straight there from the county jail. So basically, if you're sitting in the cell, you're sitting like this. There is nothing to do. And while I'm sitting there like that, in my mind, I keep hearing this guy's voice over and over again. He says, I keep hearing, God's got a plan for your life. If you would ask him for a sign, he'll show you one. God's got a plan for your life. If you ask him for a sign, he'll show you one. So over and over and over, finally I'm like, I'm all by myself. Nobody can see me. No one's ever going to know. I'm just going to do it. So I get on my knees like this. So here's a bump behind me, right? There's like, here's the toilet lot. There's a wall right here, a door over there, and I'm like, Lord, you know, you might be real, but I have a hard time believing you could ever love someone like me. If you can, show me a sign. And right then, I open my eyes, I look up, and the light comes through a window in a way where there's a 6-foot cross on the wall. I'm like, oh, there it is, right? And so I sit up back on the bunk, and I sit there and I think about it for a second. I'm like, well, you know, that was just the way the spotlight came through the window, you know, it maybe it's a sign. But I didn't become a believer right then, but what it was enough to get through my very hard-headed, hard-hearted self to start reading my Bible every day, right? You know, and then I started reading that Bible every day, and I had an old King James Bible my mom gave me, and I did not understand it. It did not make sense. I thought it was stupid, but I kept reading it. And I kept reading it, and I kept reading it. And I noticed that while I was reading it, things began to change inside me. Like, in prison, basically, especially in diagnostic, everyone likes to sit around, but pretty much lie to what it is, but sit around and talk about how well you were doing on the streets, and how many drugs you sold, how many women you had, how many cars you got. And, you know, I'm down for that. I'd like to do that all the time. But I would be sitting there talking, and then I would start to see things that didn't make sense. I was like, well, you don't have that much money. You just asked me for a stamp, right? You know, you're talking about all these girls you've done. You ain't never had a visit, right? You ain't got girls, right? And so things that used to be logical in my mind started becoming illogical. They didn't make sense anymore. And what that was the spirit beginning to change me. You know, and I think I smoked a little weed in prison, and then I drank some toilet wine, some hooch. With Matt Huff, he's not here. We were in camera together. Anyway, that was the last time I used any mind-altering substance. And then about 6 months after that first encounter with the cross, I was in another cell by myself again. And this time things were a lot different. I've been reading my Bible, and I felt the urge to get on my knees again, so I did. I'm like, Lord, I know you're real, and I believe you can love someone like me, but if you can take away this overwhelming desire to ingest and distribute large quantities of methamphetamine, I'll give you my life. And he did, and I did.
Yes.
And here I am today.
The reason why I love Maywood Baptist Church is that's one of 100 stories of God's grace and his love. Praise God. That is what he does. We hear some guy wearing a cowboy hat who God sent just for you to say, God's got a plan for you. He does it, he does it, he does it, he does it. Praise God for that. Now, you and I both have not totally left ignorant to wise. Okay, I confess that's true for me and true for Brian. Can I confess your sins?
Amen.
Amen. But he has given you a measure of wisdom. Tell us a story about death. Just a second.
Well, the Bible says the beginning of wisdom and knowledge is the fear of the Lord, right? And I'm a little bit of a fire and brimstone kind of guy, in case you don't know. But I attempt to live my life in a way where if I don't step up, God has got many, many chances, right? Most of you can attest to this. Most of us, especially me, I mean, I should not be here. I should be dead or in prison forever. But he's gave me many, many chances. But me, I'm on my last chance. There ain't no going back. There ain't no relapse. There ain't no coming back. It's straight dead, prison. It's either die, go straight to hell, or go back to prison, and then go to hell, right? And he pretty much made that real clear to me. But that is wisdom for me. That's fear. I have fear. Like, God is full of grace. It's the only reason I'm here today. But read the Bible, and he smacks people around who don't do his will, right? Especially those who go around talking his name all the time, right? It would be a real bad thing for Brian English to go back to doing what I was doing. I'm a new creation, and he would make a shining, bright, flaming example out of me if I were to ever do that. People would be like, don't do what Brian did, right? Because it was so tragic and horrid. And that's wisdom for me, right? I live my life with that fear, and the fear of the Lord is a very good thing, right? Because he is the one entity who has the power to do these things that last for eternity. And that's, I'm not always really, really good at knowing what God wants me to do, but I'm pretty good at knowing what he doesn't want me to do.
Thank you. And you put out a lot of truth just there. When you start talking about Jesus, people are going to follow you if you talk about Jesus. And if you walk away from him and you fumble the ball big time, things I knew that was, I was going to have to filter my language. That's a bunch of stuff. You know, you've got to stay with him. Thank God for that. Let's go on. Here we go. Ready? Next verse. Make good use of every opportunity you have because these days are evil. I'm going to be really quick on that. Just a second. Make every day count. All right. I used to preach in Mississippi. I was going to school in New Orleans. I was going over the twin bridges from Slidell to New Orleans East when I woke up, passed a car doing 80 miles an hour. Man, God got my attention and said, oh God, I will never do this to you again. There was one other time when it was like that. I got in my car, in 60 miles, I got out of my car 8 times just to stay awake to get back to school. What if I'd smacked that car that day? And that would have been it. Had or would have that day counted? Would have that been the richest day that I could live? What about you? Are you thinking about making every day in your life count? We don't know what tomorrow's going to be. If you ride with me, you'll get really close to God, I guarantee you. Make him count. Make him count. All right, so let's go on and talk about making him count. Don't be fools, but try to find out what the Lord wants you to do. So Brian, let me turn back to you. How do you work at finding out what God wants you to do?
Well, again, I talked about being better at finding out what God doesn't want me to do. And the primary way to find direction for your life from God, you know, if you're seeking it, is to read his word, right? You know, that's the framework, that's the foundation that you base it all off of. Now, does the Lord, like, speak to me in audible terms through his word? No, but he's very clear about what I shouldn't be doing. And when I'm very clear about what I shouldn't be doing, at least more often, let me premise this. If I'm very clear about what I shouldn't be doing, and I am in fact not doing those things, then at least a lot more time and opportunity for me to pay attention for the opportunities for him to show me what I should be doing. Right? And how he speaks to me in that is there'll be opportunities like, Bob will be like, hey, do you want to help me preach next week? And I got a pretty good idea that that's something that Jesus wants me to do. So I just err on the side of yes, right? And then also, though, the Spirit can speak to you a lot, you know, and God can open up opportunities. But when you're so distracted doing the things that you shouldn't be doing, you will miss most of those opportunities.
All right. So we just heard, by the way, this class that Wayne and Bryce are doing, I sat in on part of that. I interrupted somebody. I was talking to the back of Frenchie too loud. Sorry to you all. But I sat in and listened to it, they're listening to Henry Blackaby, who is one of my favorites, and Mark and Linda's personal friend, which is pretty awesome. Henry Blackaby says that when God speaks to you, it's not like you reach into your pocket and you pull out a warm fuzzy and it makes you feel good for the day. But when God speaks to you, He has something for you to do. And so one of the things that He has said that just resonates with me over and over and over for years it has, you can go where God is and stay where you are. And a lot of times when God wants you to go with Him, it stretches you. It's not easy. It's not comfortable. So Brian, tell us about how's God stretched you? How's He pulled you along? What's He been doing with you?
Well, God's done a lot with me. And a lot of it... So I thought about this question, and probably the hardest thing that I ever did, I've done a lot of things in my life, and Jesus worked miracles, and I've achieved things that I have no business achieving, and not because of me, because of Him. I should not be where I'm at, no way, ever. You know, and the only difference between, you know, those of you who are new to this, and who have come from a life of addiction and crime and prison, the only difference between me and you is the amount of Jesus I have in my life. That's it, right? But probably the hardest thing that I ever had to do walking with Jesus was at the beginning. Not the beginning in prison. I can say in prison that was easy, right? It's easy to walk. For me, it was easy to walk in the way I needed to be in prison, because when you're in prison, you're in your consequences. It's like, obviously, I'm not living my life in a really good way. I'm in prison, right? You know, so it was really easy to be pretty focused. But when I got out of prison, I was, you know, for the last time, I was 28 years old. The only thing I had ever done was sell meth. Right? I had no skills, I had no education, I had no opportunities, nothing. But yet, whether it's true or not, it doesn't really matter, but I had in my mind that I was a very proficient drug dealer, and I was used to the lifestyle that gave me. But more so than the lifestyle, I was used to, and I don't want to say respect, but basically, if you have a whole bunch of meth and money, people will tell you whatever you want to hear so they can get some, right? And that works for me, right? I'm freaking awesome, and everyone will say that. But once that's all gone, once you're a 28-year-old man, an adult with no skills, no nothing, who has to live with his mom in a trailer park in Clay Combo, your pride and self-worth has really plummeted, right? So you have to really humble yourself. And so that was the hardest thing, was just going from thinking I was someone to understanding, you know, that really I was nobody. And it was very difficult. I had to go work a $10-an-hour job that I didn't want with a Nazi boss who was unkind, you know. He had super anger problems. This was the end of the, 2008, right? We're in the recession. He's about to lose his business. His solution is to stay up all night and gamble, right? You know, so that really affected his attitude while I was working with him. And so I had to hear this for a whole year. For those who came out of addiction, right, that are still fresh to this, it takes several years for you to really get your mental capacity back. So maybe some of the criticism he was giving me were maybe I deserved. Maybe I wasn't functioning at the level I should have. But it was hard. It was so hard to put up with his mouth and to continue to work. And again, I'm making $10 an hour. It's like $300. It was terrible. It was hard for me to stomach. But you know what I had to do? I just had to do it. And I knew God had a plan for my life. He had convinced me, He had shown me through signs and miracles that He had a plan for my life. But in the midst of all that, I couldn't see it. I couldn't see anything. I saw no future. But I just kept putting one foot in front of the other, and I just went to work every day, and I just kept at that job, and then He gave me another job. And in that, I started to learn, you know, that it ain't about who I am, it's about who He is. And then He continued to work through me and grow through me, and then He made me into something brand new.
He did a nice job too. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So let me just kind of pull this together. We started off with ignorance. We now have fools. All right. But we also have wisdom. And the wisdom comes from learning what God wants to do with you. So you can leave being a fool, and you can leave being ignorant, and you can become wise by learning what God has to do for you. And so it may be that the first thing you need to do is what Brian did in prison. And that is get on your knees and say, Lord, I need you. God, I need your help. I need your work. I need you to forgive me. I need you to be a part of my life. I need you to live inside of me. And so in just a minute or so, we're going to ask Daniel to come up here and play his guitar, and we're going to have a time of prayer. And that may be the number one thing you need to pray about. Lord, I need you. Now, I don't know if you've seen Brian and me sitting up here on these stools, but they need to be tightened. Ray says between now and next week, he's going to do it. Stanley, you're a brave man to sit on that thing back there, brother. So, if you'll notice, I have not put my full weight on this stool at any time.
I have faith.
I do not. So, I would like you to think about your walk with God. Some of you are like me. You got some of your weight on Jesus, but you don't have all your weight on Jesus. Okay? You don't know for sure that you can put all your weight on Him. And so you're trying to play both sides of the world. The Bible calls that a double heart. On Sunday, you're in church saying, praise Jesus. On Monday, you're back with the old buddies doing whatever you do. My encouragement to a lot of us, if we want to leave from being ignorant and fools to being living in the wisdom of God and making every day count, put your whole weight on Him. Trust Him with all you've got. And for some of us, it's a process. It didn't happen overnight for Brian. And we're still...
Baby steps.
Yeah, and I'm a whole lot older than you, and it's still working on me. But you can get started today. So what we're going to do... David, come on up. What we're going to do is Daniel's going to play us to a song. And I'm going to ask you all to pray with your eyes open. And if you'd like somebody to pray for you, just raise your hand. All right? My hand's up. It's not going to be up while we pray because I'm going to pray so, but you pray for me. I need your prayers. So you raise your hand. Brian's got his up. We're going to look around and let the Spirit of God, we sang that our last song was about the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit guide you, and you pick out somebody, and you say, Lord, I'm going to pray for that person. You know just what they need, and I ask you to work in their life, all right? So, Lord, we pray that you'll guide this prayer time in the sanctuary, in the fellowship hall, in the youth chapel. Lord, we ask that you guide this prayer time, and as people see folks with their hands up, you lay on our hearts the very person we need to pray for. Lord, work, we pray in Jesus' name. Now, you all just look around and you find somebody to pray for and let God speak your prayer through you. Thank you.
Dear Lord Jesus, a lot of us lifted our hands and some of us didn't, but regardless, Lord, we all need you. We all need your help. Lord, you know, it says in the Word that you intercede for us in front of the Father, Lord, and I'd ask that you just intercede for us a lot because we need it, Lord. And I'd ask that you just impress upon each and every one of us that you got a plan for our life. It's no accident that each and every one of us is here today, Lord. And I'd ask you to show us what the next step is, Lord. I'd ask you to do it in a big, boastful, meaningful way, Lord. I'd ask that you give each and every one of us a yellow brick road and show us where we need to go. Show us which steps we need to take and show us what it is we need to do next, Lord. I'd also ask that you just bless this church and continue to keep us healthy and just put an end to this virus. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.